The gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 through 3 and 11b through 32. You can find it on page 952 of your church Bible. This may be familiar to many. It's the story of the prodigal son. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am, dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you filled the fatted calf for him. You killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We've probably heard this story many times. Even if you didn't grow up in a church, even if today is the first day that you've ever set foot in a church, the story of the prodigal son may sound familiar because it's so common and well known in our culture. We've heard this story many times, so it's easy to skip over the introduction. But look at the setting for this story. Jesus has been gathering a following. He's on his way to Jerusalem teaching. He's done some healing. He's getting quite a reputation as a teacher. He's proclaiming good news to the poor, release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind. And so the people come out. Luke tells us that tax collectors and sinners and Pharisees and other scribes were there. We might lump all these people together, but I see two particular groups. Sinners are there. Now, to you and me, sinners may be a general theological category. We know we are all fallen human beings. We are all sinners. But in Jesus' day and in this text, sinners is more of a self-designation, not necessarily a category for all of humanity. Who were these sinners? They were people who had given up on the project of righteousness, of trying to do what God wanted them to do, of trying to follow God's law. They knew that they couldn't follow the law. Maybe some were prostitutes. Hey, she might think, I know this is wrong, but I have no other options. I want to eat. My father is gone. My husband has died. My brothers are no longer here. There are no trades or professions that are open to me except for this one. What I have to do every day puts me at odds with God's law. And so it puts me in a particular category of sinner. It's the same thing, perhaps, with the tax collectors who are there. You probably know how this works, the way taxes were collected in the ancient world. It's basically a big pyramid scheme. The emperor needs 100 million or so to build a new road or feed the army. So each of 10 governors kicks in 10 million. Then they turn around and tighten the screws on others and collect 20 million each. On and on it goes until it gets to the tax collectors that we find. People who shook down the masses. Their job was to overtax their fellow Israelites, to make nice with the occupying Roman army. But hey, they have to eat too, right? These sinners and tax collectors, here's what happens if I'm one of them. I find myself in a situation, maybe through no fault of my own, where I just can't follow the law. So I've given up. I cannot be righteous. There is no way that on my own, in my situation, under my own efforts, that I can be righteous. So I've given up. I'm a sinner. Isn't it amazing just how close someone who realizes this is to the gospel? So close to the gospel that they just don't know it yet. Just haven't been found by it yet. The Pharisees and the scribes were there too, and maybe they are the second group. They were religious professionals, very much on the project of righteousness. They had not given up by any means. In fact, they were as close as anyone to completing the project, or so they thought. They were good people, and they were scandalized by this Jesus professing to be a teacher of the law and eating and talking with unclean tax collectors and sinners. So we have a contrast between those who have given up on their own efforts to get on the right side of God and those who thought they were already there. And isn't it ironic that nobody is closer to the gospel than those labeled as sinners, those who know they have no hope of living up to the law? And no one is further away than the one that does not know that, who thinks they can, by their own efforts, fulfill the law. So they're listening to Jesus there in that village, and he tells them three stories that day. The first two are omitted from our lectionary reading this morning, but they are familiar. In the first, the shepherd loses one out of his 100 sheep and goes to great lengths to find it and celebrates when he finds it. The second story is of a woman who loses one of 10 coins that she has. She goes to great lengths to find it and celebrates when she does. Then we get to our story. It's the story of a father and two sons. Now keep this in mind. 3 stories, 100 sheep, one is found. 10 coins, one is found. 2 sons, one is found. I sense a trend. What is the first thing that we do when we read this story? We start identifying with one of the characters. Which one is it for you? For me, it has been different at different times in my life, and I would imagine that the same is true for you. For many years, it was the older brother, the good one, the one who kept his head down and his nose clean. Then it was the younger brother, the prodigal son, the bad one. Once I had kids, it was easier to relate, to identify with the father and the father's love. All of these characters can be compelling, and they resonate with us at different times in our life. I know that some of you may see yourself today as the younger son, as a prodigal son or daughter. Maybe you're here this very morning, metaphorically, in the far country, in the distant country, and you find yourself lonely and feeding pigs, at the very stage of coming to yourself. Maybe you're realizing that you've made some foolish decisions and said some hurtful things. You've squandered your life in dissolute living. You're in rebellion, but now you're beginning to sense that it may not have to be this way. Or maybe you're here today waiting alongside the Father, scanning the horizon for the first sign of your child on his or her way back. Maybe you know all too well what this father goes through and the painful, sleepless nights he has spent wondering and worrying about his child in the far country. Or maybe you're out in the fields with the elder brother. He is, after all, Presbyterian. That's what it says right there in the Greek New Testament. Ho presbyteros in agro. The Presbyterian in the field. It's the older one. Presbyteros is simply the word for older or elder, and as you know, we Presbyterians are governed by elders. This is literally the Presbyterian brother. So of course you're the older brother. You're the one here in church on Sunday morning, even an hour earlier than last week. You're the one who didn't run away. You're the one who didn't move halfway across the country after college to get a new start in life. You're the one who stayed nearby so that you could take care of your aging, ailing parents. You're the one who held mom's hand when dad died. You're the one who has put your family ahead of your own interests and opportunities so that you could be the responsible one. You're the one that has it all together and you're none too pleased when Junior comes home to a hero's welcome. We can and have put ourselves into the story and life of each of these people. And we could have a different sermon for each one. But as we know, there is more to it. We are Christians in the Reformed tradition, and we know that this story is not about you or me or sons or daughters. We know that it is not about sheep or coins. We know almost instinctively that this story is about God more than it is about us. On that day, the Savior is telling a story to the tax collectors and the sinners. On that day, Jesus is teaching the Pharisees and the scribes. On that day, in that village, the Son is revealing the Father. It's not really about sheep. It's not really about coins, and it's not really about an older or a younger son. It's about God and the lengths that God will go to seek and to find. The lengths God will go to retrieve 1 of 100 sheep. The lengths God will go to find 1 of 10 coins. It's about us in one of the many situations in which we might find ourselves. It's about the Father and his first action to love us and to find us and to shower his grace on us. These stories have a loose parallel to 3 different ways that sin is described in the Old Testament. three different kinds of sin, if you will. There's a kind of wandering, like lost sheep. The sheep doesn't want to be lost, but is grazing and has his head down. He sees a patch of grass that looks greener and goes and eats. Then it happens again and again. Still not looking around, he wanders further and further. And at the end of the day, he looks up and nobody is around. He's lost. There's nothing intentional about it, but that makes him no less lost and no less dependent on a shepherd to find him. And the shepherd does. There's another kind that's more of a choice, that is a little less innocent. It's when a person has done something wrong intentionally. They are lost, a bit like the coin, and a coin needs to be found. A person needs to be found and placed back in the right, like the coin. And the woman finds the coin and puts it back in the right place. And then there is sin that is open rebellion against God. This is the sin that we see in the prodigal son. Yes, part of it is what our translation calls dissolute living in the distant country. He probably came close to breaking every single one of the Ten Commandments. But it's more than that. Look at what the younger son tells his father at the beginning of the story. It's more than give me my share of the inheritance. It's I want you dead. I want to think of you as if you were no longer around. I want no part of you. I want no part of the life that you've given me. I want you dead, and I want to get as far away from here, as far away from you as I can. As Jesus tells these stories in the village that day, to the tax collectors and the sinners and the scribes and the Pharisees, he's telling them about God and how God deals with these different kinds of sin. Most importantly, God acts first. God the shepherd finds the lost sheep. God the certain woman finds the lost coin. God the father of two sons welcomes back the son before he can even utter his well-rehearsed but meager confession. It is why, in some sense, words of assurance or words of pardon during worship ought at times to precede the prayer of confession, as it did today. I know some of you thought that was a mistake in the bulletin, didn't you? But it's because God acts first and we respond. Sometimes we can get into a rut thinking that it is almost a transaction. We confess our sin, God gives us pardon, and we're good to go for another week. It gets to be easy to think that it is our confession that makes us worthy of God's mercy. We can never be worthy of God's mercy. We don't earn God's forgiveness through our expressions of remorse. We've already been forgiven. And it is only because of this that we can freely confess our unworthiness and receive forgiveness anew. The lost sheep was always going to be found. No good shepherd is going to lose 1 of 100 sheep. Now, to you and me, 99 out of 100 may not be so bad. In baseball or softball, it gets you, 1/3 of that gets you into the Hall of Fame. Even in shooting free throws, missing only 1 of 100 is unheard of. But if you're a shepherd and you do that once a week, in a couple of years, you have no flock. The lost coin was always going to be found. The woman was a competent homemaker. She knew she hadn't taken it out of the house. She knew that it was there, and she was going to find it if she had to go through every square inch of the house. And the lost son was always going to be welcomed back. The celebration had been planned. We have to know that that's what the fatted calf was for. It takes a long time to fatten a calf. You or I can get fat on a Thursday afternoon in November, but not a calf. You know, the father had been planning this for a long time. He had counted on it, and he knew that it was a matter of when and not if. But there's still the matter of the older brother, isn't there? What about those who are offended by this God, by this Father who so freely extends mercy to those who don't deserve it? By this teacher who talks to and eats with tax collectors and sinners? That's where the story continues. The parable ends, but the story continues. And it's where the pattern that we've seen changes. When Jesus gets to the older brother, the pattern stops. A sheep is lost. The shepherd finds it and celebrates. A coin is lost. The woman finds it and celebrates. A son is lost and the father welcomes him home and celebrates. But then a son is outside. The father implores him to come in, and the parable ends. We're not told whether the son comes in to join the celebration. Remember, those sinners and tax collectors were as close to the gospel as they could be. I think the gospel found them that day in that parable. But the scribes and the Pharisees, the ones who thought that they had nearly mastered the project of righteousness, what happens to them? The parable ends. The chapter ends, and we're not told. Those who we said were far from the gospel, do they come in? Those who work so hard, those who always do the right thing, do they drop the facade of having it all together? Do they join the celebration with those who are lost and have been found, with the brother who is dead and has come back to life? Do they allow the Father to bring them in? In that village, on that day, Jesus taught about God. The Son revealed the Father. He taught the tax collectors and the sinners and the scribes and the Pharisees that day about a God who acts first, about a God who seeks the lost and who comes out to get them, no matter what they've done. And as we read this chapter on this day, that God is still acting. God retrieves lost sheep. If you are a lost sheep, be retrieved. God finds the lost coin. If you are a lost coin, be found. God welcomes the younger son returning from the far country. If you're in the far country, come home. God implores the older son to come in. If you're the older son, come in and join the celebration. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.